This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, today, I will be addressing a condition of Iman which has been conveyed to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are told that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "You will not believe, you will not truly believe until I become more beloved to you than your parents, your children, and all of mankind put together." So it is a condition of Iman to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In reality, the love has to be real. It is not just an idea in the mind or a feeling in the heart. It has to manifest physically, practically, and only then it is true love. How do we know this? This report is in Sahih al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Iman. If you pick up the most authentic book after the Quran itself, Sahih al-Bukhari, we have reports upon reports in Kitab al-Iman. One of them is this report. It is a condition of Iman. لا يؤمن أحدكم. You will not believe, none of you, not even one of you, will truly believe حتى until I become more beloved to you than your parents and your children and all of mankind put together. So this is the practical manifestation the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about. That we all love our parents. If we are fortunate, if we are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love we have for our parents is unmatched in most cases, unless you are truly unfortunate. The love for the parents and kindness towards them is ingrained within our Islamic DNA, if you like. It is in the Quran one of the glaring principles. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about tawheed or condemnation of shirk, the next point Allah mentions, wa bil walidaini ihsana, be kind to your parents. So, in other words, one of the greatest virtues in Islam, in our deen, this blessing of Allah which came down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the greatest virtues in this deen, is to be kind to your parents. It is out of the question for you to be repulsive, to be repugnant, to be negative towards your parents. Rather, you can't even say oof to them according to the Quran. You can't even say a word of contempt, even an expression of contempt. You have to be very careful with your parents. This is the red line in Islam. There is a hierarchy in Islam. The hierarchy is what? Allah the topmost, in ta'zeem, in respect and honor. We have to respect, we have to honor, we have to worship Allah, the topmost personality, shakhsiyah, that, if you want to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a being, He is the topmost being for us to honor and venerate. Then after that, because Allah alone deserves to be worshipped, and He is the one who sent His messengers to bring this message to us, we have to honor the messengers to honor the one who sends them. So that's why we have to love the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then come parents in the hierarchy, amazingly. So after Allah and His messenger, it is our parents. It is our mother and father. And if we are not careful with them, we can easily cross the red line and hurt them, make them angry, and say more than oof. Sometimes we say more than oof, and the Quran commands us, don't even say oof to them. This is the level of parents in Islam. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. With both of them, you have to do well. You have to, ihsan means beyond goodness. Beyond goodness. It's not being kind and generous. It is going out of your way to please your parents, to not displease them. This is ihsan, generally speaking. Then the Messenger of Allah gives the next example, that these are the people you love the most, and you have to naturally love your mothers and your fathers because they have done so much for you. Your mother, she carried you for 9 months and she gave you birth, and then she fed you, cleaned you, until you became an adult. Your father worked hard to provide for you, so you respect them for that reason. Then children, we love our children. If our child was in danger anywhere, we would put ourselves on the line, as they say. If there was a train heading your child's way, you would jump in front of the train to save your child. You will do anything for you. If your child is sick, you will pray to Allah that, oh Allah, give this sickness to me because I cannot see my child suffer. This is how much we love our children. And if you happen to love someone more than your parents and your children, it may be a woman, it may be someone else, it may be your wife, then remember, you will not truly believe. You will not believe until I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, become more beloved to you than your parents, your children, and all of mankind put together. And imagine the level of love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is talking about. That even though you have to love your parents, even though you love your children, even though you may love someone else more than your parents and your children, despite all of that, I have to be more beloved to you than your children, your parents, and all of mankind put together. Then you have truly believed. Then your iman is real. And what love is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about? Is it this love that we go on the streets and do what happened in Pakistan recently? Is this the love he's talking about? People are not praying. They are using foul language. They have no attachment to Islam. They don't follow the deen. They don't follow the akhlaq. They don't follow the manners of Islam. And then they claim they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What kind of love is this? This is fake love. This is lip service. This is lip service. This is just abstract love. This is an idea in the mind. It is a feeling. It's a perception that we are in love with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love is manifested when you act upon that love. You do something for the beloved. And what does the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam want from you today is the question. What does he want from you? How do we express our love to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How do we actually, practically, physically, in reality, express our love to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We, the Muslim community. Number one, we do not give him a bad name. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not give him a bad name. If we claim to follow him, if we claim to be his followers and those who love him, then we have to be attached to his manners. We have to follow his way. We have to behave like him, talk like him, walk like him, and do like him. This is his love. When you love someone, you don't hurt them. You don't displease them. You don't disappoint them. So if we truly love, which we have to as a condition of iman, we have to. If we truly love the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we have to love his way. We have to love his smile, his walk, his talk, his worship. And then we will become the true followers of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And most importantly, the point I wanted to raise is that when you love someone, you do your best to give them a good name. You introduce them to people in a way that is acceptable, that is pleasing to the mind and to the eyes. And you are the messenger, you are the representative of that belief, that way of life called Islam. When Allah tells the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we sent you not except as a mercy for the worlds, what is Allah talking about? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away almost 1,400 years ago. How is he a mercy for the worlds today is the question. How is he going to bring that mercy to the world? Through you, the Ummah, the living civilization of Islam, the living teachings and the principles of Islam, and they live through you. When you practice them, when you demonstrate them, when you act upon them, then you see the light which Allah promised to this world, and that light must come through you, the Ummah, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to act in a way that the world is enlightened by our actions, by our words, and by our teachings. And this is why Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have sent you not except as a mercy for the worlds. So we have to be that mercy. One of the ways is da'wah. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came for. Da'wah, calling people to Allah. Living in non-Muslim lands, Allah has placed you in situations where you can talk to your colleagues, your friends, right? And this is one of the best ways to express your love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you truly care for him, if you truly love him, then you would talk to people about him. You would tell people that this is a messenger of Allah. This is the last prophet of Allah. He came to us to bring us to Jannah. He came to us so that we can be saved. He came to us so that we can worship Allah alone, who alone deserves to be worshipped. He came to us so that we can be better human beings. He came to us so that we can be better fathers, better husbands, better children, better citizens for that matter. He came to us to make us great people, great leaders, great teachers. And how do we know this? That Islam has the power to transform people and nations. Look at the Arabs before Islam. They had beautiful characteristics, no doubt. They had good qualities. For example, they were very honorable in certain things. They were very kind to their guests. They had poetry. They were intellectually sound. Very, very strong civilization, right? And yet they had so many problems, so many issues they were facing, right? So many ills in the society. They were into intoxicants, into adultery, into gambling, into killing over petty things. Most importantly, idol worship. Idol worship, shirk. And Allah sent the messenger to them. Some of the most hardest people on the planet. Some of the most crude people on the planet. Very rigid in their ways. They don't want to change. They're not a soft people. They are a people who will resist. And they did resist. And they put the messenger of Allah through a lot of pain. And despite all that, these are the very people from the backyard of the world. The Arabian desert was called the backyard. Like in Australia, what do they call the desert? Where no one lives. Outback. Outback. No one lives there. No one wants to live there. No one can live there. And the Arabian desert was just like that. the backyard of the world. No one wanted to know. The Sassanids, the Persians, and the Byzantines, the Romans, didn't have any interest in this land. Desert, dry, barren, nothing. And yet Allah produced an unlettered people to become the most lettered people in the world. The first command that came to them was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama bil qalam. Allama al-insan ma lam ya'lam. So an illiterate people, an unlettered people who have no literary tradition written down. Oral, absolutely. They were poets par excellence. Powerful poets. Their poetry was very powerful. Pre-Islamic poets were very eloquent, but this poetry wasn't necessarily written down in a stable tradition. The Arabic text wasn't even stabilized. It was the Quran that stabilized the Arabic text when the Quran was written down by the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the point is that these people became the torchbearers of civilization. Suddenly, lo and behold, within 50 to 60 years, these people went out in the world, took land from Spain to China, all the way up to India. And a prophecy made in the Quran is fulfilled when Allah told these people that you will take the land. In Surah An-Nur, verse 55, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wa'adallahu alladhina amanu minkum, wa'amilu salihat, la yastakhlifannahum fil ard. It is a promise of Allah to those who believe among you that Allah will give you succession in the land. You will have the land. So long as you do not commit shirk and you are firm upon tawheed, Allah will give you the land. And what happened within a century of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these very people, within three generations after the Messenger of Allah, alaykum bi sunnati وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of the people are mine, my generation, and the one that comes after, and the one that comes after. So what does this mean? This means these people are the best people, and they are the ones who took all of this land, the largest stretch of land, to establish justice and peace of Islam in these lands. And they did that. They did that. And the purpose was da'wah, to bring Islam to these people so that they can see a practical manifestation of Islam. Islam is just not, it's not just a religion. It's not just an abstract idea. It's not just a philosophy. It is a real power. It is a force that lives through people. It is a social reality. And the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and Taba Tabi'een, they actually made it real for the people to look at. And droves entered Islam. Droves upon droves entered Islam by looking at the example of these people. So the point is, they had to do all of this. They had to go through a lot of difficulties and conflicts to bring da'wah to the people. Not forcing people. Absolutely not. Islam, it is haram to force anyone to accept Islam, whether directly or indirectly. You cannot apply pressure to force people into accepting Islam. It is not allowed. La ikraha fid din, qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghay. It is not allowed to force. There is no force in deen. Let people see the truth themselves. Okay, and they did. And that's why most of you sitting in front of me right now, I don't think anyone is from Saudi Arabia here. Maybe one or two or three people. Potentially, most of you are from outskirts. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Morocco, Algeria. Your ancestors were not Muslims. Your ancestors were not Muslims. Someone went through hardship, pain, hard work, traveling, fatigue, tiredness, dust, illness, death, injuries. Someone went through all of that so that you can be sitting in the masjid today listening to me. Your ancestors, 5 generations back, 10 generations back, 50 generations back possibly, came to Islam. Someone brought Islam to them. They were inspired by someone's words or actions. Da'wah made this world the way it is, in a positive sense. If Islam is removed from the picture, imagine a world without Islam. Imagine, only imagine a world without Islam. Go to people who do not have Islam. Today, right now as I speak, go to Mexico and see what's happening there. Go to El Salvador and see how it is the murder capital of the world. Go to Brazil and see how people live in favelas. Go to India and see how people live in slums. Go and see how little girls are being sold into sex slavery because Islam is not there, shirk is there. Imagine if Islam did not come to your lands. What do you think your ancestors would be going through? What do you think you would be doing today? What do you think you would be having today in your lands from Algeria to Bangladesh? This was the hard work of the Sahaba and the da'wah, practical da'wah. They showed their characters, upright characters. So the best way to love the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the bottom line is, my brothers, is to bring Islam to people, either by your words or by your beautiful actions and characters. Do not tarnish Islam. The least you can do is not tarnish Islam. Don't tarnish the name of Islam. Don't do things that people point the finger at Muslims. And now, as you know, since COVID, alhamdulillah, Islamophobia has kind of been put aside. It's been shelved, you know, because there is a bigger problem in the world now, yes? Yes? And COVID has really put Islamophobia behind. You know, it has become a second priority now. But still, because of this Islamophobia and big 12-inch radius telescope on the Muslims, a Muslim ant was shown to be an elephant. Now, you know that there are telescopes on you, social telescopes. Everyone is looking at you and expecting you to be an angel, even though you're humans. You're as human as anyone else, right? But you are expected to perform perfectly. Now, there is more pressure on the Muslims. There is more pressure on the Muslims. So that's why we really have to fix up. We really have to show. And if there is a telescope on us, let's use it. Let's take advantage of it. Let people see us. Let people talk to us. Let them ask us questions as to who we are and why we are and where we are. So start telling them about Allah. Start telling them about the Messenger of Allah. Start telling them about the Quran as to why it is true. And if you are not doing da'wah in these lands, then you are truly unfortunate. It is an individual obligation upon everyone listening to me right now in this masjid. You have to do da'wah. You have to indulge in da'wah. Da'wah is life. Da'wah is survival. Okay? If you will not speak to people, they will not understand you. They will always have misconceptions about you. They will misunderstand you because the media is no friend to you. What they see on the news or in news reports, in newspapers, is all negative. I have not seen in the last 20 years a positive report about Muslims. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that surprising? I have not, in the last 20 years in Britain, I have been living here, I have not seen a positive report on Muslims on mainstream media, on news channels, and in newspapers. Not one. And Muslims are amazingly the most charitable community in Britain. Muslims give over £100 million in charity every Ramadan. Did you know that? Muslims collectively in Britain give over £100 million in charity in 1 month, in the month of Ramadan. Who is marketing that for you? You need to market your faith. You need to market your good deeds, not to show off. Not to show off, but to show the world that this is what Islam looks like. This is who we are. We are a charitable people. We are a clean people. We are a good people. We have a good faith. We have something good to offer. We have peace to offer. Most importantly, the peace of the soul. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would want from you. Finally, imagine we all read the Quran. We all read the Quran. And 30% of the Quran, almost 30%, one-third of the Quran, the final word of Allah revealed to humanity through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is about the stories of the prophets. Okay? The story of Musa, the story of Ibrahim, the story of Nuh, the story of Lut, the story of Isa alayhi salam. So Allah is talking about prophets and their struggles. And what does Allah emphasize in the stories? Their da'wah. Allah does not necessarily talk about the Hajj and the Salah and the Tahajjud and the fasting of Musa. There are no details on the worship of the prophets. I'm sure they were very, very diligent in their worship. They were more diligent than normal people, right? But Allah does not necessarily look at their worship, generally speaking. There are no details of Salah of Musa in the Quran. There are no details of the charity of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran. There are no details about Isa alayhi salam and his visiting of the temple in Jerusalem and praying there. Where are the details? What do we find? We find the da'wah. The details are there when they are calling people to Allah, when they are standing up for Allah, when they are defending Allah as the only deity worthy of worship. One third of your book, one third of your holy Quran is about da'wah. And this is the most neglected worship of Allah in the Muslim community. We are the most negligent when it comes to the obligation of da'wah, especially when we have opportunities like this we have in this country. Fine, you may have financial restraints, you cannot travel abroad, you cannot go to Africa, you cannot go to South America, you cannot go to other countries. But here you live among non-Muslim populations. And yet we are failing to reach out to our neighbors, get out of our homes and talk to the people about Islam. And when we want to do marketing for our businesses, we are very diligent. We publish leaflets, we make websites, we do marketing on a mad scale so that our businesses can prosper. But this obligation, one third of your holy book is on da'wah. Isa alayhi salam, Allah is talking about his struggle with his people, calling them to Allah. What does Allah say? وقال المسيح يا بني إسرائيل اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. الله أكبر. عيسى عليه السلام calling his people, بنو إسرائيل to Allah. نوح عليه السلام قال ربي إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا. Oh Allah, my Lord, I call my people day and night. I call them silently. I call them in private and in public. I call them loudly. Allahu Akbar. So Nuh alayhi salam, Surah An-Nuh, my brothers, if you read it carefully, Surah An-Nuh, just one surah, if you read it carefully, it will send shivers down your spines. It will shake you how Allah is describing the da'wah of Nuh alayhi salam in such intricate details. So if we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, finally, if we truly want to demonstrate our love to Allah and His Messenger, we have to do marketing of this faith. We have to market our good deeds. We have to market the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a way that people accept him, not reject him. People accept him. You have to really present the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam through your actions and words in a way that people accept him as a noble man, as a noble person, a noble teacher to follow. If you were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Taif, on the day of Taif, when he was stoned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, if I ask you all, you will say, we all love the Messenger of Allah. Do you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Put your hands up. Do you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Don't hesitate. Why are you hesitant? Do you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Everyone does. Everyone does. I know this. I have no doubts. You are sitting in the masjid because you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You follow him. You love him. You cherish him. And I have no doubts that on the day of Taif, if you were with him, you would die for him. You would stand in front of those stones and receive those stones on your bodies. I have no doubt. I believe every single person here would stand in front of the stones and receive the stones happily on his body to protect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But why was he stoned is the question. Why was he stoned sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Why was he bleeding in his entire body? The blood was in his shoes. Why? Because he was there to call people to Allah. His focus was not business, not influence, not power, not some other thing. He was there calling people to Allah. Calling people to Allah, and that's why he was stoned. So if you would stand in front of him to defend him, which I believe you would, why would you not do what he was there to do? Why would you not do what he was there to do? He was there to call people to Allah. This is where ihsan, true love, is manifested. We do what they loved the most. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what pleased him the most was when someone would accept Islam through him. There was a Jewish boy dying on his deathbed. He was dying on his deathbed, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling him, "Qul la ilaha illallah, ya walad. Qul la ilaha illallah." And the boy was looking at his Jewish father, dying. And his father said, "Follow Abul Qasim. Follow Abul Qasim." Abul Qasim was the kunya of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Follow him. Say la ilaha illallah." And he said la ilaha illallah, and he died. Sallallahu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was so happy that Sahaba had not seen him happy like that, just because he saved a soul. Likewise, he was saddened when he couldn't save the soul of his uncle Abu Talib. He was sitting next to him on his deathbed, telling him, "La ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah, and I will plead with Allah on your behalf on the Day of Judgment." And Abu Talib, he says, "Ala millati Abdul Muttalib, I die upon the way of my father Abdul Muttalib." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was completely shattered, broken, saddened. And Allah reveals in the Quran to comfort him, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, walakinallaha yahdi man yasha, wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin." O Muhammad, you cannot guide people you love. You cannot guide people you love. Rather, it is Allah who guides people, and he knows better who deserves guidance. But he did his job, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was there to convey, "Wama alayna illa al-balagh." Upon us to deliver, the results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope, my brothers, that the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes a true reality, a living reality in our lives, in our actions, in our words. We are all weak. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. We are always sinning, no doubt. But that does not mean that we ignore and neglect our obligation towards the people living around us. They deserve to hear about Islam. Do you not want them to be in Jannah with you? Do you not want them to be on the Day of Judgment? You might have John, Mary, and George telling you that, "Why did you not tell me about this faith? You were living right next door to me. Why did you not tell me about it?" What answer will we have? So any leaflet, any smile, even smile, even a smiling, you know, even a smile is an act of ibadah in Islam. When you smile at someone for the sake of Allah, even for that, there is reward. Who said that? Not I, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "La tahkiranna min al-ma'rufi shay'an walau an talqa akhaka biwajhin taliq." Do not belittle any of your good deeds, even smiling at your brother. Do not belittle it. You will be rewarded for that. Even a smile can be a source of da'wah. If people give you bad looks, smile at them, and it might change their hearts. Always be that flower that leaves the fragrance in the hand that crushes it. Be that flower. Be that flower, and Islam will spread through you. Inshallah, we will leave a great legacy in this land, and we will be a great source of peace and justice here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. May Allah make you those beacons of light which you are supposed to be. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamil anbiya wa sayyidil mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi al-ghurril mayameen. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi samil alim min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen. Wa qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ballighu anni walau aya." Aw kama qal alayhi salatu wassalam, "Allahumma izz al-islam wal-muslimin, Allahumma ansur al-islam wal-muslimin, subhana rabbik rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, wa aqim as-salam."
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استقيموا واعتدلوا صفوا صفوفكم brothers straighten your lines leave no gaps in between your feet الله أكبر أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر اللهم اغفر لي الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمد ربنا ولك الحمد الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alayka ya Nabi wa rahmatullah. MashaAllah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. Allahumma barik ala السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومن